love that Joker, right?
So, Legends of the Dark Knight is back. For how long, yes, that remains to be seen. But we are covering The Batman.
Yes, and we're covering The Batman Season 1. This will be a Legends of the Dark Knight episode, but it'll also be syndicated over on Tooncast Beyond. And at Tooncast Beyond, for those of you who have been listening for the past year or so, I have redone it where we talk about cartoon shows in season format instead of episode by episode. And for Legends of the Dark Knight, we're hoping to get to episode number 50 to cap off the show. Our goal here now is to cover any and all aspects of Batman in other media. So not comics, but TV, other animation, other cartoons, and films as well. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, joined with Steve Megatron.
As always,
yes, that's right.
As opposed to not being Steve Megatron.
Yeah, well, I did name you Steve Jokertron at one point or another, but that just doesn't ring true, I don't
think.
No,
it doesn't quite fit very well.
No.
It must be because I'm not insane.
Not yet.
Well, I'm not... If I had to be a Joker, it would be Mark Hamill Joker, not Kevin Michael Richardson Joker. Not that there's anything wrong with that Joker. I just, yeah. That one's a little too batty for me. Oh, that was a terrible pun.
That was a batty, bad joke. All right, so The Batman Season 1. The Batman was started up in 2004, I believe. And a lot of people don't like this version.
Which is funny because I kind of wrote it off originally.
Right.
More so out of the fact that I didn't want to... didn't really want to watch it. And there was really no reason why not to watch it. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that I just... yeah, I just didn't want to watch another Batman show. And because to me, the BTAS, DCAU, is reigns supreme and always will be. Mm-hmm. Even in everything I've seen since. So I have seen Brave the Bold, like a couple seasons of that. It's not too bad. I mean, we'll eventually get to that. I've watched Beware the Batman, which I really enjoyed. You know, there's aspects of each one that makes them unique and good in their own right. Saying that, I definitely have a, new appreciation for the show.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, we've been obsessed for years now with DCAU and all the awesomeness that is the DC Animated Universe by Bruce Timm and James Tucker and Alan Burnett and all that stuff. And at this point, I was, you know, we've been toying with the notion of bringing Legends back for, I don't know, about a year or so now at this point. And just one afternoon, I sat down and I figured, okay, what can we do that is still all about Batman that doesn't lock us into having to do what we've already done in the past 40 episodes. I mean, I love the review shows as much as the next guy. It's my bread and butter as far as that goes. I don't mind breaking cartoons down episode by episode or even two or three episodes per podcast, but I'm getting old. So this
Murtaugh would say,
yeah, I'm too old for this.
stuff.
Bat guano. I'm too old for this bat guano. It's just one of those things where, I wanted to find a way for us to continue doing the show at the same time with the cartoon episodes that are going to be in this show, also cross them over with Tooncast Beyond. So that gets content over there as well. And I think doing a seasonal format is going to be interesting, where we can actually talk about each of the storylines, not necessarily fully in depth, but enough of it to get a decent amount of out of each season. To set the
Well,
stage.
and the funny thing about it, before we get into anything, is each season in this series is referred to as its own series in a sense. Which is kind of fitting because each one kind of bookends itself, somewhat continuing but somewhat not. And they do tie up storylines throughout the series, but it's because I've kind of skimmed ahead depending on certain aspects, just because out of curiosity's sake, and some things surprised me, so.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm as we've recorded these, because we're pre-recording a lot of the stuff for Legends of the Dark Knight, but as we're recording these, I watched through the whole first season, I don't know, in probably 4 or 5 days at one point or another, because I just
I wanted them to be
each.
fresh, and I watched them all today, but
Well, yeah, but and that's the good thing about this series, The Batman from 2004. It's 2004, folks. This was at the point where you didn't need 65 episodes for just one season. You needed 65 episodes overall. So each of the 5 seasons have 13 episodes in them. And that's a lot easier to marathon than it is to marathon 65 episodes, 130 episodes, back in the olden days of syndication in the 80s, like with He-Man and all that, how they had all those. But the thing with me is, I figured, oh, well, actually, what it was I said, oh, this just hit Netflix. Awesome. I'll give it a full try. Because really, the only time I had seen any of this show beforehand is I seen a couple of season one episodes. The only other time when it was airing that I was paying attention to it is when season five hit, because season five is the team up season. And the first thing that hit me was the Batman Superman story, because George Newbern, it's either George Newbern and Tim Daly, one of the two. I think it's George Newbern, Dana Delaney, and Clancy Brown returned to reprise Superman, Lex Luthor, and Lois Lane. So, and then I had actually had the Batman season five on DVD because it, like I said, it was the team up season. But for season one, we, like I said, we got 13 episodes here. Setting the stage, this show has, as I said earlier, has had some interesting love-hate type of relationships with the fans. Some people love it, some people hate it, some people just don't care. The main cast of characters, obviously. Bruce Wayne, Batman. Later in later seasons, we've got Batgirl, Dick Grayson, Robin. Alfred's all the way through. Detective Ellen Yen, Detective Ethan Bennett, the Joker, Chief Rojas, and Commissioner Gordon, and Mayor Grange, a former Batman, Mayor Grange. Good old Adam West. I know a
Adam
lot of people.
West.
Yes, I know a lot of people
Mayor
were pissed.
West.
I know a lot of people were pissed at this show because of the of the animation, of the style, of the voice cast, of the characters. Reno Romano voices Batman. He has done a number of things over the years. He actually was Batman in a year after this first season in Batman versus Dracula. He had done he was the narrator in Curious George a few years ago.
Wow.
He was in let's see, Getting Gotti in 1994, which is a TV movie. Let's see what else. He was in FX the series in 1997. He was in two episodes of NYPD Blue from 2000 2003. Recently, the last. Ooh, I'll have to check out that episode. I think I missed that one. He was on VO Buzz Weekly twice as himself, obviously. VO Buzz Weekly, for those that don't know, is done by Chuck Duran and Stacey J. They interview all kinds of voice actors.
I still wish that was an audio show, too.
I think it is now. I think they did put it on iTunes. I think so.
I'll have to check into that if that's the case.
So very, very cool. I haven't seen much of Reno's. Oh wait, yes I have. Wow. Okay. Another series we love or that we enjoy. 99 and 2001, he was Spider-Man in Unlimited. That's right, I remember that now. Yeah.
Is that the one where
Spider-Man.
he had the robo suit mocking Batman Beyond?
Well, it wasn't a robo suit. This is the one where he ends up on Wendigo or whatever with the animals and all that
Yeah,
stuff.
alternate Earth.
Yeah. That's where I remember seeing his name from. Okay, yeah.
And Richard Newman was the bad guy, the visionary or whatever.
So yeah, going through season one of The Batman, what was the one villain that you really wanted to see stories from, that you were really interested to see the stories from? Was it the Joker, obviously?
Actually, no, I was hoping to see because I went in fresh without knowing who was going to be in it. I was hoping to see the Riddler, which did not transpire.
Yes, it did.
Not that I noticed. Cluemaster was in it. I didn't see the Riddler even. He's season two.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, first episode of season two. So we'll talk about the Riddler next time. What interests me the most is how they take some of the classic characters and not necessarily warp them, but they take them and they give them a whole new thing. I know a lot of people don't like that.
I
A lot of
didn't
people.
mind it in this situation because I didn't know what to expect. And that was kind of a different take for me because, the Ethan Bennett character and Yin were kind of a nice, basically like Law and Order type characters that were, one was skeptical and one was friends with Bruce Wayne, so it was kind of a nice thing there. And then you had the new Clayface, you had the new kind of Joker, new Mr. Freeze, new Man Bat, Cluemaster, which I'd never heard of prior to this. Ventriloquist and Scarface, I'm sorry, I don't care for those characters at all.
Yeah,
I didn't mind Cluemaster because it kind of gave me like a Riddler vibe to it, although it was like it kind of gave me, and I forget what his name is, but he was in the Arkham games and he was all about Calendar Man. Kind of gave me a vibe between Calendar Man and the Riddler mixed, and that's what you get as Cluemaster. But I didn't mind the rest of them. I think the Mr. Freeze and the Cluemaster and the the Penguin and Joker and Clayface were probably the best villains for me this season.
Yep. Yeah, you know who Freeze is done by in this
Clancy
series,
Brown.
don't you? Yep.
Yeah, I noticed that before I even read into it, because I heard it.
Yep.
I like that they made him like a jewel thief.
Well, that was part of his original, like, before...
They did the Nora Freeze.
Before Paul Dini got his hands on him and turned him into an emotionally charged character in the comics, as far as I know, and people can... I'm not looking at this specifically, but as far as I remember from various DVD features from the DCAU days, they basically said, oh, in the comics, he used to just be a jewel thief. That's all he was. There wasn't anything to him. So, yeah, with this, they kind of worked everything in where they kind of took, you know, the jewel thief stuff back, and they did a flip on Batman 89.
Well, because... also, they had, because Mr. Freeze was like a jewel thief, but he also was playing with like freezing and cryogenics in the 66 show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't they have Eggman and King Tut?
Please, no, we do not need Egghead and King Tut. Please, don't even. We'll talk about those villains at a later date, later
I think
episode.
That'd be awesome.
We don't need Egghead and King Tut in this series. As the season progresses, we get Firefly in one episode, and then later we get Firefly and Mr. Freeze teaming up with each other, which is kind of interesting and cool. Firefly is Jason Marsden.
Mm-hmm. I've met him in person.
Yes, yes, you
Super
have.
Super nice guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's awesome. Out of this first 13 episodes, do you have a couple of favorites?
I definitely like the introduction of Clayface. Just because it was a kind of a bittersweet episode, and it was totally unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And sad. I enjoyed the Mr. Freeze episode because I got a different take other than the Nora Freeze situation.
Right.
The Penguin kind of drove me nuts. It wasn't because of the fact that he moved as fast as Batman, even though that kind of grated on me. It was partially the voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Tom Kenny. and I knew it was him. I'm like, it's freaking SpongeBob. It was the, I don't know, something about the character just drove me nuts. Ventriloquist and Scarface, I can't stand in any incarnation just because it's kind of a dumb bit.
Well, the interesting thing with this version of the Ventriloquist and Scarface is it's Homer friggin' Simpson.
Which I could care less. You might as well have had a can of Duff and looked like Homer, and I would have been all right. But Cluemaster, that was something different that I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Catwoman, I didn't really care for all that much. So, I mean, I would say the Mr. Freeze episode and the Clayface thing were probably my favorite ones. Kind of throwing things off a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, I like Catwoman in this series. I thought it was interesting.
I like how she stole his belt, and then he had to, like, Connor to give it back, and how Batman's struggling to, in this series, get recognition for being the help that he is. And then they're like, oh, and Batman is working with so-and-so. And he's like, that's not what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very interesting to see some of the stuff. For me, episodes that I enjoyed out of this season, I really dug the Man-Bat episode. I thought that was really interesting. And then For me, they kind of, well, they're, I'm getting this and Gotham mixed up, but for a second there I thought they were gonna have Oswald run for mayor in this, but no. But it, you know, so we got that going. The other one I enjoy, episode 12, The Rubber Face of Comedy, where you've got Clayface versus Joker, which is something we never really saw. You know, the final two episodes of season one, The Rubber Face of Comedy and The Clayface of Tragedy, are, it's essentially a two-parter. Which is really, really awesome. And that's another thing that I enjoy about this series is, yeah, you're right, the seasons don't really, they each have their own theme, but I think that starts to emerge like when we get to season three, because it doesn't, I don't think it's still season
Season
three
one
that
and two are pretty close knit. Season three, you
yeah
start getting like your Barbara Gordon, and then
yep
season four you
yeah
get Dick Grayson.
yeah
And then in season five, you get, I mean, in season four, you get some of the Justice League.
Yeah, season four is, I know this just from watching season five. Season four is that big alien invasion
Which you
thing
get
that
John
happened.
Jones. In season
Yeah.
five, you get Superman voiced by his original voice actor.
Yep.
And then along with the rest of the Justice Leaguers kind of
Yeah.
showing up.
What I like about this one when it comes to Batman slash Bruce Wayne and Alfred is that they have, like, BTAS Batman and Alfred always had that back and forth, but this Alfred is the Alfred that's more, you know, he's more of the fighter, he's more of hands-on.
He's like if you mix the Beware the Batman Alfred with the BTAS,
Yeah,
almost kind of like
pretty much.
the Alfred from Gotham.
Yeah, kind of. The only, I know this is blasphemy coming from me, since I always love the gadgets and the vehicles and everything else. The only thing that bugs me about this show now, going back and watching it, at least the first two seasons, I don't know if I don't remember if it changes season three to season five. I can't stand the design of the
Yeah,
Batmobile.
they change it later.
Thank
I think
God.
it's season three they change it, because I think something happens to it.
Yeah, it probably blows
I
up or
think it gets
something.
blown up just like they did with the animated series. They'll
Yeah.
blow up a Batmobile once in a while. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, that was just one thing that I just, like, it just doesn't, it's too bulky. The car itself, while it looks cool and everything else, it's just when it's sitting still and not moving, it just looks too bulky. It's not to me, it's not streamlined at all. And I know that's silly to even say, but it's just the way I feel about it. You know, like you're saying, with the Cluemaster and Firefly and Catwoman and
I
all
mean,
that.
I enjoyed a lot of their designs, like a lot of their
Yeah.
redesigns in terms of the tone of the costume and you know, the aspects of them, you know, themselves. But you know, a lot of the greatness of this was just seeing the newer incarnations of things that happened to people in Batman's life. As opposed to what normally happens.
And the other thing, you know, getting back to Penguin really quick, is that Penguin, the writers here are kind of working into other Bat mythology with, like, the whole Waynes, Kaynes, Cobblepots, the whole Gotham family aspect. Because the whole, when the Penguin's first introduced, you know, in this show, turns out that the Pennyworths used to buttle for the Cobblepots way back when, because they had the whole storyline with Alfred versus Penguin and all that, which I really dug again, because it's one of those things where Alfred is getting to do stuff, not just sit in the cave at the computer or just, you know, dust off the knickknacks in Wayne Manor. So I thought that was really cool. Joker, it depends on what he's doing. His first appearance, I was like, okay, it's Joker with,
I
long
still enjoy how
sleeves.
Clayface screwed Joker over. Like, and his
Oh
guys were
yeah.
talking, and he's like, "You guys talk?" It's like,
Yeah.
I've never heard you talk before.
Yeah. Have you met Punch and Judy? It's just so funny. But yeah, Joker, watching it again, watching it for the first time in a long time, season one here. I like Kevin Michael Richardson's voice for Joker. It works for the style of the show and the way that the writing is done for the show. But at this point, I need to see more to make a better. Like, this first season with the Joker is really cool because, again, you have him affecting another major character that turns into another major. I almost said Bond villain. Wow. Bat villain in Clayface. And I think that is a
But he's
really cool
not
story.
really a villain.
Well,
This one.
right. No. What I said was, you have Joker affecting another major character in this series, essentially turning him into a classic bat villain, except it's a different. Yeah, you're right. Ethan Bennett was never a villain, but Clayface has always been the villain. And by the time that part of this season ended, I almost get like a Venom Eddie Brock kind of vibe to it, where Bennett was his own thing, and then, the clay was its own thing. Like, they were together, but they had separate, well, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they had separate personalities for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I felt bad for Bennett's character overall throughout watching.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And it just kind of sucked overall for his character, because he truthfully was trying to use what he'd been screwed with, and turn it into this kind of blessing in a sense. Even though it didn't work out for him, which then later, things will happen in a later season, with that character as far as redeeming him. I don't know if
Now,
you,
do you f
I skipped
mm.
ahead so I could see what happens.
Yeah, I'm still watching through, so I'm
Because
on
Basil
season.
Carlo, the actual Clayface,
Oh, comes oh
shows
yeah, I
up,
remember. Yeah, I remember that
and
now.
he's a total D-bag, so it's very much deserved, and then you get the tale of two Clayface. So it's very fun episode. One of my favorite things of this season was the Arctic Batsuit.
Yes, that was
I
cool.
love that suit. And then he's just like, because the first time he got hypothermia, and then second time he's like, Alfred's like, "I've weatherproofed the bat suit." And then I was like, that's so much less bulky than the one that he had in the Arkham games. Now, granted, I love the Arkham game one because it's like a robo suit, much like Freeze's, but it's a thaw suit. But I loved the gauntlets, how they could turn to like a defroster. And then the rest of the suit was all like white. So it was almost like a White Lantern Batman.
The whole Arctic suit was so great. I thought that was so fun. And again, it shows off how he can adjust to
Different situations.
exactly. Absolutely love that.
I can't wait to see what happens in later seasons, whether he gets another suit that he uses, because I've only ever seen the one.
I don't remember off the top of my head. He might get other suits. And he's used other gadgets in this first season. He's used like
Remote
the
control batarang, the.
remote control batarang. He with Firefly, he used the remote control, not remote control, but the jet pack bat wing thing on his back
Which he
instead
used that
of it,
against Man-Bat too. Which was an interesting twist how they did that, because he's like, "Oh, I'm trying to make something for my niece who can't hear," and then Bruce finds out that he's full of crap, and then he's like, "No, I have to be like the Batman."
Yeah. I like this. I like the original Kurt Langstrom from BTAS and all that. I think that's a cool story, especially what Kyle Higgins did with him in the Batman Beyond DC animated comics from DC. I thought that was cool. But this Man-Bat, because he's not okay, yeah, he essentially makes up the lie about his niece, but he's not saddled with a wife, and his wife doesn't become a woman bat and all this and everything else. And I really did dig this version of Kirk Langstrom. And normally, I am not a fan of the man bat character.
I'm not either. This one was actually halfway decent, though.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see if we see more of Freeze. I'm sure we'll see more of him in future seasons. I thought, I mean, hell, it's Clancy Brown as Freeze, and as I said earlier, they essentially took Batman 89 and flipped it, because instead of Batman telling the Joker, "You made me first," you got Freeze here basically saying to Batman, "Well, you're the one that did this to me."
Yep.
And we get that whole storyline, which is really, really cool.
And
I thought that was fun.
one of the other notable things is by the end of the season, Yin finally trusts Batman and allies with him.
Well, he finally trusts
While
her,
they
because
both
he
trust each
even,
other, she kind of lets him go a lot.
I mean, yeah, she's gonna need some sort of partner, because now that Bennett's off, dripping down a drain, she's got to figure out something. And I just love their interactions. I thought the way that they interact, with her at first being completely against him, and then her just, him slowly letting her in, and then working together. I just absolutely love that. And I know later, because I've seen the cast list, so I know Commissioner Gordon shows up, but what I like about this series is that you're relying on, at first, Bennett and Yen, and to a lesser extent, Chief Rojas. But you're not giving us the standard Commissioner Gordon, Chief O'Hara, yada, yada,
I
yada.
wonder
You're not
whatever
giving us
happened to
that.
Chief O'Hara.
You mean the actual guy or the character?
Character.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure.
Because they never reused him after that.
Yeah.
And then we got Harvey Bullock, which basically replaced him.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, with whole Bennett and Yen thing, I think that was really cool. And now, obviously, at this point, at the end of the season, we have Yen and Batman working together, which is very, very cool, and it gives a fresh new outlook on how Batman can work with the police. And I thought that was really awesome.
Which it takes a new police chief to okay him.
Other things with season one here that I enjoyed. I know, again, everyone says, "Oh, the animation, blah, blah, blah." The animation is not that bad. I know everyone, because it's kind of the same creators that did Jackie Chan Adventures. I know a lot of people compare it to that.
I can see it. It is pretty close to that.
I mean, it is, but I've only ever seen like 4 episodes of Jackie Chan Adventures, so I don't really remember. I mean, I don't really, and that was years and years ago when it was originally airing. But going back and seeing this now, comparing to all the other various DC animation over the years that I've seen, I really dig this. I think it's really cool. I love how they essentially make his cape its own character at times. Where, he's always, flinging stuff out of it, or wrapping it around himself, or whatever. I just think that's really cool. Those batarangs look amazing. Only thing I'm not too thrilled about, besides, as I already mentioned, the Batmobile, Batwave. There are times where Bruce gets a Batwave call and he just picks up his cell phone. Anybody on the street could look over his shoulder and see a giant bat on his cell. Like, I mean, I know it's a secret identity and all that, folks, but I mean, come on. He's got to do a little bit better job protecting it, I think.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too.
I mean, I could see if, he's in Wayne Enterprises or Wayne Industries or whatever they call it in this series, I could see if he's at his company in his office and he has to use the super secret bat tunnel thing under his desk. Or, like, I could see that getting a bat wave while he's sitting in his office by himself. But walking down the street, that's not just your normal text message alert tone. That's a special alarm bell kind of thing. But yeah, absolutely. Really digging the Batman so far. I want people to hopefully comment on this episode and let us know why you like the Batman and what you like about it, or why you don't like the Batman and what you don't like about it. Because I want to see how far the line is divided. Like if it's 50-50, 70-30, 60-40, 80-20, that kind of thing. Because so far, as I said, I'm enjoying it. I don't understand why everyone was so up in arms. Maybe because it was so different, maybe because the animation was so different compared to what we were used to, or maybe it was because it's not your standard bat. You and I have said this for years. Kevin Conroy is the goddamn Batman, and he always will be. But there are times where the Kevin, and I've said this before, there are times where, as much as I love Kevin Conroy as Batman, I don't think his voice fits the animation style. One of the examples I can probably give is Batman v Superman Apocalypse. Or not Apocalypse. Yeah, it was Apocalypse, wasn't it? What was the one? It was Public Enemies, and then there was a second one. I thought it was Batman v, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, and this style of animation with Reno Romano, his voice fits very well. And I like that his voices are distinguished a little bit, but they're not like he has a little bit of gravel in his voice, but he's not choking on a rock like Christian Bale usually does. So that's always fun. And I just can't wait to see more of this show.
I agree.
On a scale, on the GCR Universal rating scale, 0 to 5 stars, what would you give season one overall?
Season one. I don't know, I'd give it about a 4. I mean, I found that I enjoyed, 85% of it.
I'm also going to give it a 4. The storytelling is unique, interesting, takes a few liberties, but that's okay. Every show is allowed to do that to bring in a new audience. And that was the other thing is, at this point, 2004, we still have 2 years of Justice League kind of left over, and when this started, and you got to figure out something to do with Batman at the time. And hey, if you can make your mark, I mean, everybody else has made their mark on Batman. Why not have these guys do it? So, as I said, I'm also going to give this a 4. Right now, folks, you can check out The Batman, all 5 seasons on Netflix. It just got added, by the time this goes live, it'll have been on there a while. But that's the best place to check it out for now. We're going to take a quick break and come back after this. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all 4 Masters of the Universe cartoons. Join Optimus Solo and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
I am hurrying, I'm hurrying!
Well, folks, I said we'd be right back, but apparently not. Apparently the Joker stole the Batmobile and he got away, and
episode 41 of Legends of the Dark Knight. While complete, the outro is missing. So, tune in next time here on Legends of the Dark Knight to hear Steve Megatron and I talk about more Batman cartoons. Yay! Unleash the geek in you and visit geekcastradio.com.